The Forgotten Dream, Chapter 115. The large hall in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar is filled with people who are not talking. It is quiet, exceedingly quiet. Everyone stands with a serious expression upon his face. Some of them are pale, others tremble. Shyly, they look up for a second, but quickly cast their eyes downward again. Sorrowfully and nervously, they shrug their shoulders. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, sits before them upon an expensive throne. He also is silent. He also trembles. However, he doesn't tremble from fear as the others do, but with anger. An angry glow lights his face. His eyes sparkle with evil forebodings. "Must I wait longer?" he demands. "Give an answer to the question I ask you." Again, it is quiet for a moment. Then an answer is heard in a trembling voice. "King, you are asking too much of us. We cannot do it. Only the gods can do what you demand." Do you hear? They speak about the gods. Alas, they know no better, for they all are heathens. In anger, Nebuchadnezzar stamps on the ground. His face is red with anger. "You must give me an answer. If you don't, everyone will be slain. I will cut you into pieces. The houses in which you live shall be broken down, and the ground upon which they stand shall be changed into dunghills. But if you give me an answer, a right answer, I will give you magnificent gifts and make you rich." The king is silent as he waits for an answer, but it remains silent. The men who are gathered in this royal hall shrug their shoulders, and they cannot answer Nebuchadnezzar's question. "All of you shall be slain," the king decides furiously. Who are all these people? What did Nebuchadnezzar ask of them? Why were they not able to answer the king? That very morning, Nebuchadnezzar had awakened as usual, but had not slept restfully. No, he had dreamed. Well, what about that? That isn't unusual, is it? Doesn't that often happen? You also dream sometimes, don't you? Sometimes you have a nice dream. Sometimes a frightening dream. Nebuchadnezzar feels this dream was an unusual one. But do you know what he thinks is so pitiful? He has forgotten the dream completely. He broods and ponders about it, but all in vain. He tries to recall his dream, but it is of no use. He cannot remember it. It was a strange, a wonderful dream, and he feels this dream had a meaning. It is too bad he no longer knows what he has dreamed. Finally, he gets up. He is tired and puzzled from all his pondering. Suddenly, a thought darts through his mind. "Yes, yes, I will do that, of course. How ignorant of him that he doesn't think of this idea sooner. He will ask the wise men, the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers to help him. They must tell him his dream with its meaning. He also will know whether they will try to impose on him. If they can tell his dream, he also can believe the explanation." Hastily, he gives his orders. Soon the messengers hurriedly leave the royal palace to call the wise men of Babylon. They must come immediately. A little later, many wise men hurry to the palace and enter the large hall. They are inquisitive to know the reason they have been called. When nearly all are present, The king begins to speak. Let us also listen to what he says. Last night, I had a dream, he says. I am completely upset about it, for I do not know what the dream means. O king, live forever, they all answer unanimously. Tell us the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king smiles subtly. I have forgotten it, says Nebuchadnezzar, but I demand of you to tell me my dream in its entirety. Tell me the dream and its interpretation. If you cannot do so, it is a sign to me that you are deceivers. It is not my purpose to support you anymore, but all will be slain. These men look at each other and answer the second time, tell us the dream, and we will tell you its interpretation. You know I have forgotten it, Nebuchadnezzar cries resentfully. You must answer me and do what I command. Do not put me off any longer, but answer me quickly. You are trying to gain time with the hope that suddenly this dream will come to my mind. Yes, children, this is the reason why all these men are so anxious and terrified. We already have told you they could not give an answer to the king's question. Now, upon the command of the king, all these wise men must be killed. We read in the Bible, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. An officer of the king's guard with his soldiers must kill all these people. We do not know how many were slain, but not all of them lose their lives, for unexpectedly help comes. Daniel and his three companions also belong to these wise men. The Babylonian soldiers look for them too. However, Daniel is completely innocent, for he was not present when the king asked that question. God's word does not tell us why he was not there. When Daniel hears what is taking place, he hastens to the captain who must execute the command of the king and asks, why is the king's decree so hasty? It is as if he would say, why make such haste? Can't you wait for a time? Is it really necessary to do it so speedily? Arioch, for so was the name of the captain, relates in a few words what has taken place in the palace of the king. Daniel goes directly to Nebuchadnezzar and asks politely, King, will you give me a little time? Then I will answer your question. The king hearkens to Daniel. He gives him an extension of time, and Daniel goes to his house. Probably you are thinking, yes, Daniel made that promise, but surely he cannot do what the king asks, can he? No, he cannot recall someone's dream, but he can do something else. See him bending his knees in his chamber, asking the Lord for help and deliverance. He also informs Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so they too can ask the Lord for deliverance. For the God of heaven and earth, their God, knows the answer. Their prayers are answered by the Lord. That night, Daniel could not sleep. As he lay upon his bed, he thought about these things and sighed to God for help. The Lord answered him by letting him see what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed, and at the same time making known to him the interpretation of this wonderful dream. In the quiet of the night, Daniel thanks the Lord, the Almighty and All-Knowing God. Yes, he could sing with gladness. So, can you make known to me the dream and also tell me the interpretation? Inquisitively, Nebuchadnezzar looks at Daniel, who is standing before him. No, king, he answers frankly. The wise men, the magicians, the astrologers, and the soothsayers cannot reveal the secret. Neither can I do so. No person can. But there is a God who lives in heaven, and he has shown you by means of a dream what will happen after your death. Isn't Daniel honest? He doesn't say, yes, I can do it, but he gives God the honor. It has become exceedingly quiet in the large hall. The king and his numerous servants are extremely inquisitive to know whether Daniel really can explain this secret. You too are inquisitive, aren't you? You must listen attentively. King, Daniel begins, when you went to bed the other night, you could not get to sleep immediately, but you lay thinking about what would happen after your death. While you pondered, you fell asleep and began to dream. In your dream, you saw a great image glittering before you. The head of this image was of gold. The breast and arms were of silver. The belly and thighs were of brass. The legs were of iron, and the feet were part iron and part clay. There stood this wonderful image, glittering in the sunlight. You, O king, saw a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Suddenly this stone rolled down with much speed, straight toward the large, magnificent image. As it hit, this enormous image trembled, staggered, and fell. The ground shook from this roaring blow. The stone ground the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and the clay to fine grit, which was blown away by the wind. Nothing was left of the handsome image. But the strange, mysterious stone became larger and larger. It became a high mountain which filled the entire earth. This, O King Nebuchadnezzar, is your dream. Daniel speaks calmly. The people all listen in amazement. Motionless, the king sits upon his throne, his eyes fixed on Daniel. From the expression on his face, one easily can see that Daniel is speaking the truth. Yes, now Nebuchadnezzar very clearly and plainly remembers his dream of the previous night. In his thoughts, he sees the image standing before him and comes under the impression of what he had dreamed. But he doesn't have a long time to think about it, for Daniel continues immediately. Now I will tell you the meaning of this dream. O king, you are this head of gold. The Lord has given you power over many kingdoms, but your kingdom will not exist forever. Another kingdom will arise after you. This new kingdom will not be as mighty as yours. This second kingdom also will perish, and a third kingdom shall rule over the entire earth. A fourth kingdom, which will be as hard as iron, will come after the third one. All other kingdoms will be conquered by this fourth kingdom. While this fourth kingdom is reigning, God will raise up a wonderful kingdom. This kingdom is God's kingdom. It will never perish, but will remain to all eternity. This kingdom of God was typified in your dream as the stone cut out without hands, which ground and destroyed the entire image. Behold, O king, this is your dream. You need not doubt its interpretation, for it is sure. For a moment it is quiet in this spacious hall. Everyone is impressed by Daniel's words. For a while Nebuchadnezzar also sits speechless with astonishment. But then, oh, look what he does. He leaves his throne and falls with his face upon the earth before Daniel. He worships Daniel. Wrong, Nebuchadnezzar. Not Daniel, but the God of Daniel should receive the honor. Daniel also told this to the king, and for we read in the Bible that Nebuchadnezzar answered Daniel. And what did he answer? Let us read it together. Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. So, Nebuchadnezzar openly confesses that the God of Daniel is stronger and mightier than his gods. His gods could not reveal and explain the secret, whereas the God of Daniel did reveal and explain the dream. Then Nebuchadnezzar gives Daniel great gifts and appoints him chief over all the wise men in Babylon. This Jewish exile rose to an honorable and respectful position in the realm of Babylon. Daniel immediately thinks of his three friends and speaks to the king concerning them. The king is agreeable, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego receive a place in the governing body of Babylon. You can be sure these four Jewish captives took good care of the other Jews who were in Babylon. In this way, the Lord watched over his sinful, unthankful people. He provided them with powerful protectors in the land of the enemy. As Daniel interpreted this dream, so everything was fulfilled. The head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the powerful kingdom of Babylon. The kingdom of the Medes and Persians was meant by the silver breast and arms. Afterward came Alexander the Great, who reigned over Macedonia. This monarch was the brass belly and thighs of the image. The iron feet, which were mixed with clay, represented the Roman Empire, which came next. All this is quite difficult for you to understand at present, but in the meantime remember these names. Later you will hear more about them. What about the mysterious stone? What does that mean? This strange stone points to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the long-promised Redeemer. He would be born during the reign of the Roman Empire. This also has been fulfilled. The stone in the dream became a great mountain, didn't it? That means Christendom would spread over the entire world. No one knows what will happen in the future. Sometimes there are people, men or women, who say they can foretell future events, but never believe them, boys and girls, for they are deceivers. They only guess at it, but they never know for sure. People, devils, yes, even the angels in heaven do not know what is going to happen in the future. God only knows. He reigns and governs everything. In this history, God, by means of a dream, made known to Nebuchadnezzar what would happen after his death.